Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
What is going on, coexisting fans? It is Friday, June 20th. Sorry, I'm 10 days late there. June 20th.
Early.
I'm early. Well, late somewhere. I got nothing right now. This is a good start. Anyways, welcome to Coexisting. It is June 20th. We are here to talk some wrestling because we got a lot to talk about today. Hope everyone is doing well. And as I start every show, Maggie, this time something happened, and
what happened?
Here it is.
Hey, Maggie, this is Rob Lowe. Just wanted to let you know that everything's going good with Wardlow. Just checking in with you. It's been a while. He's doing well. He's getting ready for his new TV show, American Gladiators. But all is well, and we hope you're doing well. So take care of yourself. Have a good day.
Very nice of Rob Lowe to give us that update on Wardlow as he's getting ready for American Gladiators. So
the sweetheart.
Yeah, he's something else. But anyways, Maggie, how you doing?
Okay, so first of all, I don't think I've ever mentioned, or if I have, I need to mention it more, just how much I love our intro. Rob worked a lot on it and it captures us really well. I'm so happy that you sat down and did it. Thank you so much for it. Rob deserves a lot of ovation for everything he does for Fightful. Thank you for all the thumbnails that you do. You cheeky bastard. Your last week's SmackDown thumbnail. You were really proud of that.
Yeah,
you were really, really proud of that. So thank you so much for the intro. I have no idea how this stuff works. I am such a noob. I have no idea how to do stuff like that. That's about it.
And you know something else that as soon as it loads here, I'll announce it. But we do have a new thing going on here, and I might try to shorten it. But this is our new Bryn alert.
This is a Bryn alert. Bryn alert.
I'm going to have to shorten it, but whenever we need something from Bryn, I'll just quick that. So So there you go. That's the Bryn alert.
There you go, Bryn. This is just how important you've become to this show. This just goes to show you. Thank you. Or I'm sorry. Either one of those.
Thank you, or we're very sorry. It's one of the two.
Thank you or sorry. That's it. It's either one. So let me tell you guys a quick story about what it is like living in Bulgaria in 2025. So I go to work today. I open the bar, and immediately I get five friends of mine waiting for me to open the bar. They're mothers, and they're waiting for their children to finish their exam. So what is so funny?
When you said they're mothers and they're waiting for their children, and then you said, like, I was just thinking, like infants and like kids like that. And they're just going to the bar. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, their children were having an exam and they were waiting. They're waiting for them to finish. So they came to drink a cup of coffee, drink some water. And a couple of them drank wine at freaking 10 a.m. That's another story, you know. So open the bar and we don't have any running water.
Ooh.
Yes, no running water. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry, I don't have running water. And they're like, but I want coffee. And I'm like, yeah, but we don't have water. And they're like, no, I meant I want coffee. And I'm like, what? So this aside, they were just, you know, I'm going to give them a benefit of the doubt. Maybe they're slow. That's fine. So our cleaning lady arrives and there's no running water. So she has nothing to fill up the bucket, you know, to mop the floor. And then I go to the back in our storage room to see what alcohol I have to purchase, you know, to call. And then I see the refrigerator that holds all of our bottled beer is left open.
Ooh.
Yeah. So this means that my boss, who's working the day shift yesterday, just left it open and it was open for 24 hours. So you know what happens when you leave a refrigerator open? A bunch of water beneath the refrigerator forms. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I called the cleaning lady and I'm like, there's your water. So she gathered up she mopped up the water and she used that water to mop up the floors. 2025 Bulgaria. That is it. That is it. And then I had to, you know, go to the front and continue explaining to one of the ladies why I cannot make her a cup of coffee since there's no running water. And then she continued to insist that she doesn't want water. She wants coffee. And I'm like, what am I going to make you a coffee with? What's in the coffee? And she's like, well, what do you mean? There's coffee. And I'm like, you cannot be serious. Come on.
Oh.
What is happening? And this is, I think, one of the, you know, fairly intelligent people that I know. It took her some time. And then she was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. That is so stupid. And I'm like, yes. That was stupid. So, guys, thank you so much. Oh my God, damn it! This is what I mean when I tell you that this show is therapy. Okay, this is what I have to deal with usually at work. Thank you so much for joining our little therapy session with Rob and I. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate all of your guys' support. You mean a ton to us. So if you're here, might as well leave a like on the video. Rob and I will be reminding you guys to do that throughout the entire show. So might as well do it now. So we can shut up. You know, leave a like on the video. Share the video on social media and everything. If you like to support us more directly, you can send a super chat at the bottom of the YouTube live chat, a little dollar sign. or you can send a Humper Chat at humperchats.com. It does make us keep a little bit more of the proceeds, which Rob and I appreciate a ton. Notice everyone here on Fightful. Speaking of, please subscribe to Fightful on all social medias. Subscribe to Fightful Espanol also. And please subscribe to Fightful Select, the easiest $5.99 you're ever going to spend on wrestling. Our bread and butter. Fairly accurate news without being aggregated. Q&As. Discord, which to this day I have no idea what that means. You guys have no idea how much value you're getting for $5.99 a month. Have no idea. So might as well get into a Fightful Select story then.
Yeah, we're going to read our first super chat though first. Ryan Sullivan sent us a super chat, says, where did you get that picture of me? He's referring to that picture of the American Gladiators. So that is what he is definitely referring to.
I love you, Ryan.
Yeah, we do. We do love you, Ryan. But yeah, so our main topic to start off the show is based on our thumbnail here that you see, what's in store for Bryan Danielson, as Bryan Danielson did get physical this past week at Ring of Honor Global Wars.
I was shocked.
Yeah. So, Fightful Select had an exclusive report last night that dropped. Sean Ross Sapp, he said, he's reported things that we kind of already know, but just in case you didn't, Bryan has been around, like, backstage. He's been part of the creative team, or creative consultant, per se, appearing backstage, doing media. And the one thing is, like, we know, we didn't know if Danielson would be back in the ring or anything like that. You know, that's the thing. A lot of people always hoped, but Danielson, even himself, didn't know, because like Sean put in his report in December, Danielson was still having some pains, and basically everyone at AEW was very careful to only say that he was basically done as a full-time talent, and that when Danielson knew, like, it would be up to Danielson, like, when he came back and stuff like that, but as we reported, he appeared at Ring of Honor Global Wars and made the save for Blue Panther in a spot that was, as Fightful reported, was very important to him personally. Shane Taylor Promotions was booked specifically for that spot. So basically, the reason I'm bringing this up because, A, Maggie and I are big Bryan Danielson fans. And oh, yeah. If this is something if this is setting something up for, like, you know, it's still going to be a while, you know, I'm not saying it's going to be tonight or this coming Wednesday or anything like that. It's going to be a while. My thought process when I started thinking of this, depending on what his time frame is, I know people aren't a big fan of shenanigans like in AEW matches, but I think we're going to see shenanigans in the Jon Moxley Adam Hangman Page match. And if there's a perfect opportunity for him to show up and get involved again, All In Texas is the right spot, in my opinion. That's where you do it. What are your thoughts on this? And I don't have to ask you if you want Bryan Danielson to come back, because we already know that answer. We both want him to come back if he can. Like, it's not one of those things where, like, no matter what, we want him back. If he feels comfortable, if he's good to go, you know.
Well, absolutely. I think everyone that's been watching our show for some time happens to know that Rob and I both are incredibly huge Bryan Danielson fans. And if you like wrestling, you're going to be a Bryan Danielson fan. That's pretty much it. So the thing is, what Rob meant, if he can come back and fight, both of us would be incredibly ecstatic to see that happen. But if he's not, that's fine too, because Rob and I both will just want him to. Can you just talk a bit? I have to take care of the bug.
Okay. I was wondering what the hell was going on there. But anyways, yeah, we definitely want what's best for Bryan Danielson. And there's so many matches, obviously, that we could still, we would still love to watch Danielson in. I mean, you name it, there's a ton you can just list down and see, like dream, like not necessarily dream matches, but I mean, anytime you get to watch them, you're going to be happy you get to watch Bryan Danielson. I mean, I would love to watch Danielson and Ospreay again. I'd love to watch Danielson and Swerve and Danielson versus Omega. Obviously, anytime, like it doesn't matter. Danielson versus a pillow, you know, like that pillow match is going to be good.
So to continue what I was saying, thank you guys so much. It was bothering me so much. So Bryan Danielson, I mean, his entire storyline when it comes to wrestling was incredibly emotional. And if he came back, I just want him to be sure that he's going to be okay. Exactly like Kenny Omega back in the day when he returned. After his high verticalitis. Oh my God, no. What? Danielson, Jericho, what are you doing? Pile driver. What? Timeout. About him now.
Daniels or Jericho's probably going to be back soon, I would think, too, huh?
What are you doing to me?
Well, I mean, I just thought about it.
Good everything is.
Yeah, I just thought about it. I'm like, it's been a while, and I think his tour is over, so.
Yeah, I understand. So, if, like, we all know that there's going to be shenanigans in that all-in match between Hangman and Moxley. We all know it's happening. It's the Death Riders. There's like not a match can go by without them actually butting their stupid faces in it. So might as well have a lot of other shenanigans, you know, with probably, you know, Swerve and Ospreay, the Young Bucks, and, you know, the entirety of the Death Riders and everything. And when everything is said and done, and we think that Moxley is retaining, out comes Bryan Danielson. Now, what is so funny? What did you see in the chat?
No, it wasn't chat. I was just thinking, like, yeah, like, here we are thinking that Danielson's going to help him, and, like, that's what we're like afraid of, where John Moxley doesn't lose the title, is what I was thinking. Like, I was just like, if he doesn't win the title there, I think people are just going to lose their freaking minds even more, you know. Just,
well, listen, there's a point to be made, and Joel made this point today on In the Weeds. And he said what everyone was thinking. He said it out loud, and he said it out into the universe. Because, again, all of us were thinking that. Imagine if TK decided that Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada is the match that is going to be main eventing All In, which means that Moxley and Hangman will not be main eventing, which gives him the green light to make it a not feel good moment, because this isn't the match that's going to close the show. Because here's what I think. It is the biggest stadium show that AEW has produced in the United States, correct? So I'm going to go ahead and assume that they want to make that audience go home with a incredible yummy feeling in their tummies, correct? So whatever's main eventing, if Omega Okada is main eventing, Omega's winning. If Moxley and Hangman is main eventing, Moxley's winning. Hear me out. Okay. I beg of you.
Okay, I got to hear this, so go ahead.
If he has the audacity, and if, by he I mean Tony Khan, to put Moxley and Hangman in the main event of the show, and have Moxley retain. And on the other side, we have Goldberg facing Gunther, because that happened. And might as well talk about that. Here's what we're not going to do. We're not going to sit here and pretend that Goldberg's going to beat Gunther for the championship, because that's not going to happen, right? That is not happening. So the reason why I'm pissed off about this, because everyone, Goldberg's going to have a match against Gunther. Fine. That's okay. But then Gunther won the championship. And then all of a sudden, Goldberg's coming here. Yeah, you're next. Why? What have you done lately to have a championship opportunity? When was the last time you won a match that you all of a sudden go to the front of the line and just, you know, why?
Yeah.
If Gunther is being as smart as I think he is, because I adore Gunther, he would say, you know, let's make it a title versus career match. Let's make it that, because this will make sense. Because Gunther would have something to hold on to. He'll have a reason to accept the match, because right now he has no reason to accept the match. He's a ring general. A ring general must, you know, protect the ring and kayfabe and everything that stands for it. Like, why? Yeah, so imagine we have both of these things. And for all the counter programming that WWE is doing to AEW, I'm going to go ahead and assume that TK knows damn well that he needs to give the fans what they want. Otherwise, they're just going to choose the different product.
Well, now, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the good thing is in that perspective, All In starting earlier in the day, I think it's at 3:00 Eastern. So,
okay, but it's going to be like 8 hours.
Well, yeah. So by the time that show's ending, I think main event will be probably starting. So,
yeah.
If not, it could be like an hour. But anyways,
It's like I'm the more the show comes closer, I'm just gonna be incredibly scared, and by incredibly scared, I don't mean legitimately. Okay, I'm not that nerd, but I'm gonna be scared that after all, Tony Khan is still thinking that Darby's the person. Because explain to me why they have mentioned Darby 0 times lately. Like, it's as if he doesn't exist, and they all the time they do that right before someone comes back. They do that all the time.
Yeah.
And they did that to Kenny. Like, he ascended Mount Rushmore. Jesus. Mount Everest. Sorry. And
I just caught that myself.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And then 0 mention of that. No one mentions it. Because what they're building towards right now is Hangman being the one. I mean, people telling him he's the one, the person that all of us are in love with, Will Ospreay. Congratulations on your engagement or whatever. But he makes us believe that Hangman's the one. And then if he's not the one, I'm going to get PTSD from that WrestleMania when Cody flopped.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the only reason why we're getting doubts right now is because of that Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes match. That is the only reason. Because everything points towards Hangman accomplishing the thing. But because it's happened before, and we're all afraid of it. So again, I'm going to be worried when all in comes around. And then Saturday night comes along and Gunther and Goldberg, and I'm just going to...
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I think it's still like too early to tell, but I think...
Yes.
I think Hangman's leaving with that title, and I do think it's main eventing All In. I know Omega Okada is main event worthy. Obviously, I know that. I just have a feeling they're not going that route. I think they're going with the title. That's the story that they've been going with for a while. Like, I mean, Moxley having that title and everybody wanting to lose it. I think this is the way to go. Like, you do it at All In. Sean reported Claudio. There's two other people.
Claudio, Cash, and oh my god.
I'm gonna look it up.
Athena, Athena's psychic. Jesus, what was
Billy
her
Starks?
Name? Billy Starks.
Yeah. They
all had trouble getting getting to the show.
Yep, they weren't able to make it. Flight issues, I guess. Yes. Claudio, yeah, Cash, and Billy all missed planned bookings. Sean said he's looking out for why, but I think what's been reported was like travel issues, but we don't know for sure. So just put that out there. We don't know for sure if it's all travel issues or if any of it was travel issues. So we'll find out. I assume it has to be travel issues if we weren't there, but you know what I mean. So, yeah. The other thing, too, is that I was going to just bring up is Danielson and Moxley has to be, like, Moxley's first few. If I'm doing the hypothetical here, if Moxley is, or excuse me, if Danielson's good to go, it has to be Danielson and Moxley, in my opinion. I know some people have been bringing up Wheeler Yuta, but no. Like, that could be, like, down the road, but it needs to be Moxley and Danielson. It just needs to be that.
So. For the longest time, I thought that Wheeler Yuta was the only person who was benefiting from the Death Riders. I don't know if that's the case anymore because I kind of feel like it's Marina Shafir. she's been incredibly over with me ever since she joined the Death Riders. But the thing is, so I was watching the Fightful post show for Dynamite, and then I found out that Bryan Danielson came back because he was right in the middle of the Ring of Honor taping. Right?
Yeah.
Global Wars. Yeah, okay. And then I was like, yeah, well, Wheeler Yuta delivered not one, but two Busaiko knees on that night.
Yeah.
And I know he used to do that all the time ever since he turned on Bryan Danielson, but he hadn't done that in some time, or he did, and I'm just a stupid head. But yeah, so for the longest time, I thought that Wheeler Yuta was the one who was benefiting. I thought that they were building towards a potential big push for Wheeler Yuta. It was up to the audience to make them aware if he was going to be a heel or not, because that audience right now is booing the hell out of Wheeler Yuta. Oh. They're chanting "fuck you, Yuta" all the time, So it must be helping, right? I mean, yeah, at least for Yuta, because I know he was an incredible babyface, but like right now, when on this past week when he locked in with Shibata, it was incredible. And I just hope that eventually it does lead to Bryan Danielson and Wheeler Yuta, because for me that was the initial idea. Because Moxley doesn't need it. I know the audience needs it, but sure, of course. Two ring generals, why not? But like the technical wrestling we can expect from a Yuta and Danielson match is on another level. What I think Moxley is just gonna take that vacation, man, that he was supposed to take like 15,000 years ago. Yeah, but Bryan Danielson returning to wrestling is what's best for business, as long as he's okay with it and his body can withstand, you know, it all.
Yeah, no, exactly. I agree. And like, I see some things in chat talking about like why Cash wasn't there. The thing is they don't always get to travel together anymore. Like Dax, Scott asked, it wouldn't make sense that Dax and Cash travel together. Actually, Cash moved to Florida, so he's not always in North Carolina anymore. So they both live in separate states now. So they don't always get to travel together. Just to put that out there. Now, it could have changed since in the past months or so. Like, by all means, mm-hmm, I don't know where Cash lives, and it's not my business to know where he lives. But I'm just going based off what I remember reading and hearing. And I know that he, in an interview, stated before that he lives in Florida now. So, and maybe it was Dax that said he lived in Florida. But I know I heard it from someone. But anyways, Maggie, there was some other news that made you and I very happy this week. And listen, if somebody was in the same room with me when I found out about it, this is what would have been said. Now's not the time to kiss! Because I was so happy when it was... It hasn't been official yet, by any means, but it sounds like SmackDown is moving back to 2 hours.
Yes!
Hercules. Not official by any means, but good news is that SmackDown is possibly going back to 2 hours instead of being 3 hours.
Our prayers were heard, Rob.
Yeah, because I think most people will agree SmackDown is a solid show when it's 2 hours.
It's so easy to watch. It is so easily digestible, and I actually have fun watching it. And initially when they said, well, it's going to 3 hours. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Like more time for the women. They have pretty stacked women's division. And then none of that happened. It's just because do you know, like going back, let me just see my notes. Going back to this week's SmackDown, because it's fucking 3 hours long, they decided to have fucking two separate Cena segments in the ring. Why did we do that?
Because we can't have nice things? I don't know.
Two separate segments, and we heard his theme song fucking two times. No one wants to hear that. I mean, I know it's his farewell tour, but, like, just stop it. Okay, so, like... SmackDown moving back to 2 hours. This is something I've talked to with our friend Alexis Cardoza, the co-host for the Friday night post show for SmackDown on Fightful. He will be back this week. He was missing for 2 weeks. He's gonna be back. I love Kate and Alex are my favorite post show. So he and I talked about how just incredibly excruciating those 3 hours of SmackDown are. And you guys wouldn't know, but like every time Rob and I finish the show, and then Rob says, I don't know if I'm gonna watch SmackDown because it's 3 hours and it just feels like a chore. SmackDown feels like a chore right now. And tonight and next week are presumably gonna be the last two shows that are gonna be 3 hours. And on July 4th, it's going to be, you know, back to 2 hours. Quick plug. That week, Rob and I will be having our show on July 3rd, which is a Thursday, right, Rob?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, because you wanted to have July 4th of July off.
Yep.
You guys celebrate, and I will be celebrating 4th of July too, because SmackDown is, you know, being back to 2 hours, which is absolutely amazing. And then we'll be having our show on July the 3rd on the Thursday. Just wanted to throw that out there just in case Rob and I forget to tell you guys. So SmackDown being back to 2 hours is, man, I really want to say a dream come true, but like, man, everyone has dreams, right?
Yeah. And I know like some people are like, well, it's only like the one, like 1 week. It's actually not the case, because USA Network is going to be putting on another show like after SmackDown is, and they want SmackDown as the lead in for this new show, to maybe get ratings. And I forgot what the new show is. I don't really remember what that new show is going to be. So I'm going to blow this up for the first time.
This is a Bryn alert. Bryn alert.
So if you can find out what that show is, that'd be great. But I know there's another show that USA is putting on, and that's one of the reasons why.
Resident Alien.
Well, no, that's what they're doing now, but there's another one that they're going to be doing. That's what they're doing right now, but they're going to have a run-in or lead-in for another show that they've been promoting. Anyways, if the only thing I could say about, like, I could see them occasionally doing a 3 hour like down the road again, like here and there.
I don't want to see that.
I really don't either, but I can see it being that way for like go home SmackDowns possibly. Like, I don't want to see it, but we know that option's there, because you know WWE, they're willing to do anything for money. Almost, it feels like, or it seems like. So.
Yes, kind of gross, but yes, it is.
But yeah. So someone. Oh, that's it. Thank you, The Rainmaker. That's it. That's the show that they're going to be doing. It's the TV show, The Rainmaker, based off the John Grisham book. So that's the lead-in show.
Okay.
So it was actually a good movie too. Like, the book's good from Grisham, but the movie with Matt Damon and Danny DeVito. That was Matt Damon from South Park, or yeah, when they do Matt Damon. You don't remember that? Okay. Somebody in chat, I hope for the love of God, knows that. It's...
Man, I haven't watched South Park in years, man.
I swear it's South Park where they do that, like, Matt Damon. Anyways. What a movie. Or show, rather. Anyways, something else happened on Monday, this past Raw, that was unfortunate. Liv Morgan. Yes. She had an injured shoulder, dislocated shoulder. She's going to have surgery.
The worst case scenario happened.
Give our well wishes to her. I don't know if she's had the surgery yet. I do know that they canceled her appearances at Fanatics Fest this week. So I know that Dom is there with her in spirit, but he's also in a chicken finger contest. Eating chicken fingers in a contest against Joey Chestnut.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, Steven Jensen's guy.
I know. That is the only reason why I know who Joey Chestnut is.
Yeah. So, okay. It's World America, Team America, World Police. Matt Damon. Yeah. I don't know. So.
Yeah. So, oh my God. I'm going to have to watch that. You know, the chicken wing eating thingy, whatever.
Yeah. Hopefully, yeah.
And I'm sure that Roxanne Perez will be there supporting Dom. This is going to be a storyline. Yeah, so this is an incredible bummer because not only they're going to have to, you know, rearrange the King and Queen, the Queen of the Ring tournament, presumably, and... I suppose that because the way Raw opened this week was Liv Morgan saying that she never had that championship rematch that she was owed. And then she had a match with Kairi Sane where she got injured. So what we were getting was the beginning of... a bit of a friction between her and Raquel because Raquel got riptide on the outside previously during the four-way for the Queen of the Ring qualifying match. Stephanie McKay versus Ivy, Raquel, and Asuka. A returning Asuka, by the way. I hated the fact that they gave her a video package for her coming back and not just have her as a surprise entrant. I hated that. Everyone was going to pop like hell for Asuka. And I understand that they wanted asses in seats. I understand that. But imagine how amazing and big of a surprise that would have been. I still teared up because it makes me see that Death Rebel can do something good if they wanted to. A theme.
Yeah.
It's a Death Rebel theme, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay. So we're gonna go deep into Death Rebel when I rant about NXT later. So Asuka, of course, won the match and she qualified. Because Rhea Ripley gave Raquel a riptide outside. So Raquel was pretty banged up and she couldn't help Liv. And Liv said, I'm going to get the job done since you can help me. And I was like, okay. Some more friction because what we're supposed to believe is that Liv is incredibly on edge because of everything that's happening to Dominic Mysterio and Roxy. And this... just makes her pissed off about stuff. And now do you remember what I mentioned to you last week, that this is the most intriguing, the judgment they have felt for me in quite some time, you know, since the R-Truth era.
That's why. So it's CFO. They went back to her original. So that explains why it was good. I forgot about that.
That explains why. Thank you. Thank you, Clown Sweetie. Guys, remember to leave a like on the video. Also, send a super chat. Thank you. That's what we're here for. And to hang out with you, of course. Best wishes to Liv. I suppose that what was going to happen was Nikki Bella would come out, you know, at some point of the night because they made the whole thing with Nikki Bella and Liv last week, but they never followed up because, you know, the injury of and everything, but health comes first, and we just hope that Liv Morgan recovers successfully soon.
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
So, talking about King and Queen of the Ring, what have you thought about the tournament so far?
You know, it's been... I prefer it to be like the traditional King and Queen of the Ring, you know, like do a tournament for F's sakes, not four-way matches. That's what I really want. I want it to be like the King of the Ring that we known to love. You know, like, I mean, here, I'm going to pull up the Queen of the Ring bracket here. Look at all these names. You could have had singles matches for. You could have had singles matches with Fleur and Alexa Bliss. Candice LeRae.
Alba Fire and Candice LeRae. Asuka versus Valkyrie, which is, I'm sorry, but this is a pay-per-view match.
Yeah, I mean, hell.
Raquel Rodriguez versus Ivy Nile. This would have been a great showing for Ivy Nile because for some reason people keep forgetting how good she is. And then you can have Raquel Rodriguez dominate her at the end of the match. On the other hand, we have Piper Niven versus Nia Jax, which I'm sorry, but this is a wonderful match to see. We have Jade Cargill versus Mitchin. Mia Yim, we all know, is a ring general and she can carry a match. Jade Cargill could have definitely won that match anyway. We have Liv Morgan versus Roxanne Perez, which again is a pay-per-view match. Could have been a pay-per-view match. You know, if you look at, you know, all the history that they're building towards right now. And Rhea Ripley versus Kairi Sane, which we almost had when Zoe Stark got injured too, and they had to finish the three-way with a traditional one-on-one match. I understand where you're coming from, and I agree with you 100%. This would have been so much better if they just started the tournament a bit earlier. And see, they have 3 hours of SmackDown. You cannot tell me that they couldn't have made that happen. You're just lying. I'm sorry. You're just lying if you say that this wasn't possible. And all of the four ways, it doesn't matter if it's the women or the men, all of them had outside interference. All of them. And I know that this is WWE's way of thinking, that they just think that this is how they protect people.
Yeah. Yes.
And I don't understand why they don't realize this, but sometimes good wrestlers win matches.
Yeah. Fightful Select and Report.
Yes, and you guys are the bookers, and you can book something to make sense if you wanted to. And if you don't want someone losing, then they just don't book them. I don't know, like what? I don't understand. So we're about to have, you know, semifinals on both ends, on men and women. So pull out the women's one again.
Good. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
The women's one. Yeah, so we have Roxanne Perez versus Jade Cargill. And then on the other hand, we have Alexa Bliss versus Asuka. So both these matches are up in the air for me. Because you would think that Roxanne Perez is going to beat Jade Cargill. But like, then it's Jade Cargill. And I kind of feel like she wins the entire tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Bryn says, I bet the finals will be Asuka versus Jade Cargill with Jade winning.
Yeah, of course. That is the thing. My heart kind of says any of the other three women... Jade Cargill is so my favorite when it comes to star power and execution of certain moves, but when it comes to King and Queen of the Ring, I kind of feel like this is a ring general accomplishment.
Yeah,
that's me. You can easily not agree with my point of view, that is absolutely fine. But like for me, King and Queen of the Ring are given to workhorses and people who are, you know, long-term wrestlers is a dick way of putting it. But you guys know what I'm talking about. So, put out the men's bracket now.
You got it.
Thank you. Okay, we have Sami Zayn versus Orton. And you know Karrion Kross is trying to make... I think that actually Karrion Kross is a big fan of Sami Zayn and he is his best friend. And he's trying to just hype him. He was like, I don't think you have what it takes to be the Randy Orton. And Sami was like, well, I think that you don't believe in yourself and that's why you don't wrestle. So,
honestly, what I'd like to see, and I know I'm probably like the very, like, probably, I would actually like to see Killer Kross or Karrion Kross help Sami win is what I'd really like to see. I know.
Well, yeah, because that's their way of protecting Randy Orton.
I know. Well, I mean, that too, but I just think it would be good, like, for... I think it would be an interesting storyline if Sami Zayn kind of just goes into it, like, maybe carrying it right and, like, builds him up. That's just my... I don't think that's happening, but I could see it. I'm just saying I could see it being that way, too. I could see a storyline progressing that way. I don't think it's happening. But I'd be okay if it did, you know?
You just want to see Karrion Kross on your television.
That's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it. I know you. You just want to see Karrion Kross getting booked. And I kind of feel like he is... I think he's winning fans over. They're chanting for Karrion Kross. And they're... cheering for Karrion Kross every time they see them, they see him on their television sets. So this is working. The thing that Karrion Kross is doing right now is intriguing, and that's fine. And on the other bracket, we have Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso, correct?
Yes. Yep. I'm gonna pull that bracket back up though.
Okay. So here's the thing. I don't know if you guys noticed, but fuck Cody. And Cody does not need that, but he's going to get it either way. He's going to beat Jey Uso, and I suppose that what we are going to see is Sami Zayn versus Cody Rhodes. And what's doubly more even stupider is that Cody Rhodes is going to win. For some reason, they don't want Sami Zayn winning in Saudi Arabia. For whatever reason.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens.
Yes. Again, I am really, really pissed off and cranky that none of the matches had a legitimate finish, you know. Yeah. But all of them, you know, had interference. I'm so pissed off.
Yeah, but and like how we went over the women's, think about if they did this with the men's, like each like solo matches, we would have had Jey Uso versus Bronson Reed, Rusev versus Sheamus. Like, these are singles matches. Nakamura versus Andrade.
Oh, yes.
Rhodes versus Priest. Hayes versus Malakai Black. Or, excuse me, Aleister Black.
Aleister Black.
Which, I mean, we've seen that a couple times, but...
Give me more. That match was awesome. You know, that match was fucking awesome.
Orton versus LA Knight. Breaker versus Mysterio. Penta versus Zayn. I mean, damn. Just give me those matches.
Exactly. I understand. Again, I understand. This is their way of protecting. But, like, their way of protecting just means, oh my god, shenanigans and gang wars and everything. Which was AEW's thing. Just stealing AEW's thing. Man.
Yep. So. All right. You wanted to talk about a little NXT before we go into the Cooper Effect. So I will hand that off to you.
Okay. So
Maggie's
you know
rant.
How yeah, thank you. So you know how usually we praise NXT for the way that they're portraying women and how they're putting over women? Correct. Right? Mm-hmm. So this week's NXT was really heavy and reliant on the women, which I will always be here for. I'm glad. But do you know what they did?
What?
This pissed me off, man. So Jada Parker and Thea Hale had an Evolution Eliminator match. Do you know what? Because you said that you watched NXT before our show, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you saw what happened, correct? So Tatum Paxley appeared and hugged Sol Ruka, which was ringside during the match. So what happened was Zarya, remember Zarya?
I've heard of her. Yeah, I remember.
Yes, Zarya. Yeah. Like the...
Yeah. Powerhouse.
Zarya. Yeah, so she got startled, man, from Sol Ruka raising her voice slightly in surprise that someone hugged her from behind. And apparently, I'm mixing the two together. This was Zarya versus Izzy Dane. So what happened was Izzy Dane decided to take advantage of Zarya getting distracted, and then she pinned her because Zarya got distracted by a teeny tiny scream by Sol Ruka ringside. And on the other hand, the other Evolution Eliminator that happened, the one I was initially talking about, but I mixed the two together, Jada Parker and Thea Hale. So, you know the guillotine?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. What was the move that Thea Hale was using versus Jada Parker? She was like the arm thing. Oh my God, what's that move called? Whatever. Someone in the chat, please remind me. Thea Hale, you know, she got that move from Charlie Dempsey from No Quarter Catch Crew. So she had it's an arm breaker, but like what was it? So she had that move on Jada. So what that move was, locking one of her arms. Are you searching for the move?
Yeah, I am. You're talking the Kimura lock?
Yes. Oh my God, okay. Kimura lock. Okay, so she had Jada in the Kimura lock. So everyone, thank you, Scott. So a Kimura is having someone's arm and twisting it. And so the fucking referee had the audacity, because what happened was, the story was that the referee didn't see, because Jada Parker tapped out to the Kimura, but the ref didn't see it. And do you know why the ref didn't see it, Rob? Do you know fucking why? Because when you have someone in a Kimura, you just don't stand there looking at the arm that's locked in the Kimura and say, well, I didn't see her tap out, because you're supposed to be looking at the other fucking hand. Like, what? Why are you burying your referee so much? This pissed me off so much. This was the thing that opened up the show. And I'm like, okay, we're fucking started with fucking shenanigans, and is this entire show gonna be this? Because I was pissed off and I wasn't even having my second sip of tea, man. This was bullshit. Why isn't this pissing people off as much as it's pissing me off? You're a referee in NXT. You're not, you know, you're not just starting now. NXT, I know it's a, you know, a starter brand, you know, it's a developmental. It's not for referees, okay? No one has made a point out of the referees being developed themselves in NXT. So you're supposed to be a legitimate referee. So how come you have no idea that when someone's in a Kimura, okay, so what about when you do a cross arm breaker? If you're pulling one of the arms and you don't go like this, so you're not tapping out because you're not paying attention to the other arm. What the fuck is this, man? So, of course, Thea Hale lets go because she senses that Jada Parker tapped out. And she's like, yeah, I won the match. The referee was like, I didn't see it. And on the other hand, Thea Hale has been there for a long time. And she knows if you win a match, your music is going to start playing. Your crappy music is going to start playing. And the bell will ring and everything. No, but like she was, oh, yeah. What? No. Did you hear the ring bell ring or your music, your awful, awful new music? No, you didn't. So why do you think you won the match? This is pissing me off. So
I can tell.
And then, yes, and then what happened was Josh Briggs and Amora and Elijah took on Trick Williams, AJ Francis, our guy, and Wesley. So what happened is Inamura pinned Trick Williams. Inamura pinned the TNA champion. So what happened backstage, Inamura had the audacity to give Briggs his TNA championship opportunity. Because apparently, of course, he pinned the TNA champion. Of course, he's going to get a championship opportunity. So he blatantly just gave Briggs the championship opportunity. And I'm like, why didn't Briggs just pin Trick? Why do that? What is the reason between that? Why? And they're not going to make any sense out of it ever. They're not. And then, oh my God. And then Lola Vice versus Jordynne Grace happened. And Jordynne Grace came out and I'm like, I'm sorry, that is not Jordynne Grace because that is not her music. Listen, sweetie, I don't care if you're desperately trying to make people online love your new music. I know it's probably a part of your contract to make people delusional and deaf. Because you signed a contract, correct? That is fucking... What? So, Jordynne Grace... Jordynne Grace has, her theme is hers. It's not TNA's. It's not Impact's. It's not anyone else. It's hers. She's the owner of that music. So what I suppose WWE want is to own your music, own your name. They want to be able to own it. That's the entire reason behind... Mariah May is changing her name because they want to own the name. I know. But like when you're gonna replace an awesome entrance music that you have big shoes to fill and then you just crap all over it. And I know what people are gonna say. Well, it was so good that whatever they thought of isn't going to live up to, you know, that thing that she had previously. That's not true. That's simply not true. Because, listen, I love Aleister Black's entrance theme in NXT and now on the main roster. What they did for House of Black that... I mean, it's not. I know it's not Mikey Ruckus. It's a band from the Netherlands. I forgot their name, but the song is really good. And those and that band are musicians, and they make music. Who know? Like you know, who makes music too? The people in fucking charge of Death Rebel. They make music. What do you mean? It's gonna be hard? No. Just make better music. Like this is something that I discussed with Corey today. It says, listen, man, nothing can tell me that Def Rebel cannot have some dirty ass laundry on WWE. And that's the reason why they're doing the fucking bare minimum and still being there. I'm not, listen, because when when the NXT audience heard Jordan Grace's new theme, they started a Fire Death Rebel chant. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that Death Rebel should be fired. I'm not going to say that. Death Rebel Death Rebel have produced wonderful theme songs. They just need to do better because we know that they can. It's not like they've never produced an awesome theme song ever, because Io Sky is theirs. That's wonderful, man. I adore Io Sky's theme. So they can. They just don't wanna. And that's just pissing me off. So why would you do that? Just make better music. It's the same with the women's tag team division. Well, just get rid of it. No, fucking no. Just book it better. I'm not even kidding. NXT pissed me off this week. And this is something that I talked with Rob this week. And I'm like, NXT pissed me off. Just NXT fucking pissed me off this week. I know it normally does. It's NXT. It's supposed to be pissing me off because it's developmental. And like, I can have a lot of, question marks, and I'm going to need an explanation for this. I'm going to need an explanation about that. And not because I don't want to think straight, okay? I'm a David Lynch fan. I always need explanations, and I search them within my fucking brain. My frontal lobe has gotten used to David Lynch by this point. And if I cannot, for the life of me, understand the reasoning behind 90% of your NXT booking, that's spells fucking trouble for you, man. Just make it make sense. I understood nothing from NXT this week. Thank you for therapy, Rob. Thank you for allowing me to vent, because all of this made no sense to me. Thank you so much for coming. Send us a super chat because I need water.
Yeah, David Busters, damn it.
So, all right. That was Maggie with the soapbox, and man, yeah, you went off pretty well there. And Scott George says, "Maggie soapbox graphic, please." I think that's going to be happening. I think that's going to be.
What's a soapbox graphic? What is it?
You say what you gotta say. Like, you went kind of say what you gotta say and just let it out. Pretty much is what it means.
But what's with the soapbox?
I don't know the origin of like.
So I need an explanation. Listen, I'm ignorant about stuff like that. What's with the soap thing?
Okay, I'm gonna read it to you. It's a box or a crate used as a makeshift stand by a public speaker. Basically, what you're doing is you're speaking out, is what you're doing publicly. You're just airing your views, basically, is what it means.
Yeah, but like, what does it have to do with soapbox?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. That part I don't know. I can't really quit. I mean, I tried the best I could. It's basically saying you're standing on top, like you're letting your voice heard. Like, I can't. That's the thing. I can explain things, but I can't give you the actual.
I know, you're so sweet. Thank you.
So, yeah, it's a box of soap. Don't listen to Rob. Scott George, what you just, yeah, see, there you go.
No, I'm asking.
I know, but
what the soapbox relation is.
That I couldn't tell you. I think I explained it like the way the definition said. I don't know, like the soapbox thing, like that part. You know what? Hell with it. I'm done. Let's just go to the Cooper Effect.
So this week's Cooper Effect is brought to you by Rob. He found the Cooper Effect. So this person saved a baby moose from an angry bear attack. So initially, because I'm a regular, semi-regular person, and I've never seen a baby moose, because I'm also a Supernatural fan, you know, the TV series. And I know where when Crowley calls Sam Winchester moose, because he is extremely, extremely huge. So when I think of moose, I think of Jared Padalecki and a big ass animal. And I've never seen a baby moose. So that was a first for me. And I'm like, of course, they're not. They're not that big when their mother gives birth to them. Of course, stupid. So like, it is an adorable baby moose. And the person takes care of the moose throughout their entire life. And then because it's not, it's said nowhere, because like the person who uploaded the video on Twitter isn't the actual person in the video. She didn't specify if that person eventually let the moose back, the baby moose, which was all grown up, back into the wild. I can only assume, because I don't know, you cannot, look at that thing, you cannot possibly keep a baby moose and a full-grown moose in your backyard. From the video, I think I saw the fact that that person has a farm, so that moose had a huge place to run around there. He fed the moose. He took care of I was gonna say the sweet little thingy, but like then you show that picture of the fully grown moose, and that's absolutely fine. But right before our show, I made the huge mistake of reading the comments below the video, and people had a problem with that person saving the moose, by the way. They were like, you're disrupting nature. Like what was the bear supposed to eat now? And I'm like, excuse me. So yeah. The person saving the moose, that's showing compassion, by the way. That's not interfering in nature whatsoever, because that bear is going to be okay. That bear is going to find a different thing to attack and eat, because that's how nature works. That's just compassion. That's not interfering in the, you know, food chain or anything. They're not taking away prey from the bears or whatever. It's just show of compassion. And God bless that man. And I hope that moose has a lot of moose babies. Moose.
Yeah. Clown did us a favor. Clown did us a favor. He said, back in the day, the town square, you'd stand on a box to be taller than everybody before you and you start ranting. Thank you. That's pretty much it right there.
But what's with the soap?
It's just like it's an empty freaking box. All the soap came in. And then they just used the box kind of. That's all I got, Maggie. I can't really go into.
Okay. Because when I think of a soap box, I think about these little tiny, like Korean stuff. But it's a bigger soap box, apparently.
Yeah.
The ones back in the day. When they discovered soap, I can only presume. Thank you, Claude. This has been so inspiring.
At the time, the wooden crate was how they were carrying soap.
Thank you. Okay, yeah, someone needs to make a graphic with that. I need to be, you know.
Here, let's just make you blush instead.
Hi.
There. You mentioned Supernatural, and I had to. What the fuck? See, I told you guys, I knew it. Yeah. See, that was fun for me.
Thank you, Rob.
Yeah. He's probably listening to the show too.
Jensen Ackles, yes.
Hi. Yeah, he's listening, just like Scarlett Johansson tunes in for me. So.
Yeah. Hi.
There you go. Anyways, AEW took place in Mexico this past week for Grand Slam Mexico. I thought it was a solid show, but I think part of that reasoning why I thought it was a solid show was because it was not 4 hours.
Oh, fucking yes.
It was 2.5, which I'll take is better than 4 in this case. This is when the number 2.5 is better than 4. Anyways, I thought it was a solid show. You had some good matches. You had story continue on. You had title changes. Maggie, what did you think of AEW Grand Salami?
Salami.
That's
well, it's been a long time since I've seen a Grand Salami. But, so... I'm not even sorry. So, as we mentioned from, you know, the beginning of our show when we talked about Danielson, I love the fact that Hangman came out and he just spoke in Spanish. The stupid thing was he was like, I'm sorry, my Spanish isn't really that good. And then he continued rambling in Spanish, in really, really good Spanish for about 10 minutes. And I'm like, you liar. You're that kid from school that gets straight A's. And they were like, oh my God, I haven't studied for this test at all. And then it get an A. You're that kid in school. You're annoying. So he said that he wasn't allowed in the arena during the main event, but they said nothing about after the main event. The main event was Ospreay, Joe Shibata, and Will Hobbs and Swerve versus Beast Mordos, who was finally able to be back at the arena after he was banned. Beast Mordos, Moxley, Wheeler Yuta, and the Young Bucks. So I do want to address Will Ospreay having the black eye. So I'm sorry that he got legitimately hurt last week. Let me start off with that. And this worked way better than him having an eye patch. Because if he had an eye patch, we would have been, yeah, that's fine. But like, we all know he's okay. And that's why he's wearing an eye patch, because it's kayfabe. They didn't want him having an eye patch just so we could see the damage. Blessing in disguise for me. Good. So what I got out of this match was the urge to see a one-on-one match between Will Ospreay and Nick Jackson. I want to see that match desperately.
Okay.
Yeah. And this was the match in which Wheeler Yuta delivered two Busaiko knees. So Moxley pins Swerve with a handful of tights. Obviously.
Yeah.
Hangman came out to the rescue because the Death Riders started attacking, and the Young Bucks too. But like, they were all attacking Swerve, and that's when Hangman came out. So they didn't touch upon last week's happenings at all, but they were really subtle. Extremely subtle when it came to who Hangman was saving when he came out. So he went to hit Moxley with the lariat, but what he did was he hit Matt Jackson with the lariat. And I mean, I'm sorry. You can hate the Young Bucks all you want, but they're fucking hilarious. Why'd you do that for? What do you think he did that for? Of course, you know, Nick Jackson being incredibly concerned when it comes to his brother. I love the way that Dynamite started and ended. But I do have a problem again. I have a problem with the women's thing. So we had one match for the women. I understand the first 4-hour block, we had one match and a squash. Then the week after that, we got more match. Was it 3 matches and a continuing to a storyline with one more? I do not. My memory sucks big time. So last week was better when it came to the women, a bit better. But what we got this week was, you know, back to the basics with the one women's match. They're building towards their biggest stadium pay-per-view in the United States. And they have one built women's match. One. They have one, man. And I understand it's a big one because it's Mercedes Moné versus Toni Storm for the AEW championship. So what happened was Mercedes Moné beat Zeuxis for the CMLL women's title. It was immediately followed up with an amazing detective video packaged by Toni Storm. I understand that this is a thing. I have no idea what she was portraying. I do not watch, you know, I'm ignorant when it comes to stuff like that. Sean and Alex Pawlowski were on point when it comes to the thing that she was trying to do. Do you know what that was?
Mm.
No. Okay, that's unfortunate. So I suppose that this is what we're going for. But the thing I wanted to talk about last week, and somehow I forgot, I wanted to bring up Queen Aminata. So they do this all the time with Queen Aminata. What they do is, because I, from what I understand, she's in the Ring of Honor Vortex, correct? Like, she's there.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I don't care. I couldn't be arsed to care about Ring of Honor right now. And I'm not even kidding. I know there are amazing wrestlers in Ring of Honor. I know GYV are there. I love GYV. Like, why are those people not on the main roster? They said that they were going after the Unbox, man. Why isn't that happening? So, also Matt Taven is on Ring of Honor. They show us Queen Aminata on Dynamite every now and then just for us to remember just how amazing she is. And every time she loses the match, of course, because she's always put there to put over someone else in an amazing-ass match. Like, I don't know what happened in the match between her and Okay, I spaced out. She was away. Tekla. Okay, thank Jesus. Tekla. I don't know what happened between her and Tekla during that match. I don't know why she just flat out stood up and just walked to the back. Some disagreements, I suppose. But that was a really, really fun match that Queen Aminata had. And all of her matches have been that. Incredibly hard-hitting, believable in-ring chain wrestling. And I love Queen Aminata. So what they do every week is that they give, well, not every week, every now and then, they give us a Queen Aminata match and then they take her away and we forget that she's existing every time. And then 2 months later, oh hi, that's Queen Aminata. Let's see what's happening. Oh yeah, of course. She's a really wonderful wrestler. Every time. They do this every time, and I'm like, okay, they can do something with her now because she's... I'm pissed off, man. Are women's tag team championships on the way? Because if they are, this gives them an opportunity to highlight even more women. Because if you're highlighting the tag team women's division in some capacity, and then you have other women that can go through the singles division even more, and there's no way of them doing that if you don't build them previously to be actual believable contenders for the title. And Queen Aminata, how can she not have a title right now? I can't be the only person to be so in love with Queen Aminata and everything that she's doing. I cannot be the only one. Why am I the only one? She's amazing, man. Why am I, like, is it some backstage thing? I don't know, man. Why? It's like, it's right there. It's right there. She's so good. Just strap a rocket on her. I mean, there's, you know, few women that aren't obviously right there and one of the best wrestlers out there. But, like, a couple of women that I'm legitimately incredibly impressed with when it comes to them building towards awesome in-ring work, and they've put in the work, and Queen Aminata is one of them. I'm so fucking proud of her. And someone please give her a championship, because you cannot be serious with this at all.
Yep. No, I agree. She's awesome. Maggie, I got some jokes if you want to hear them.
Please.
What does a robot do after a one-night stand? He nuts and bolts. Why can't Miss Piggy count to 70?
Why?
Because at 69, she gets a frog in her throat. Guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on X. I'm also on Instagram at Fightful Rob. Maggie, tell everybody where they can follow you at.
Jesus. Guys, you can follow me on Trickster, Twitter, whatever you guys will call it, at Maggie_IK, on Instagram at Maggie.IK, and on Blue Sky if you want. I'm not that, you know, as a whole, I'm not that often on social media, but on Blue Sky at Maggie.IK.
Bryn says Aminata is announced for the Ring of Honor Women's Premier Title Tournament, along with Billy Starks, Deonna Purrazzo, Taya, Serena Deeb, and Lila Gray. That's good. Get some good names in there.
She's not going to win that championship, by the way.
Yeah. Well, you never know. You never know. The girlhood dream could come true.
Yes. Hopefully. Thank you guys so much. Please leave a like on the video. Do us a big ass favor and leave a comment after the video is uploaded, after it's done. Helps us out a lot with the YouTube algorithm that hates us immensely, because we have content each and every day. Please subscribe to Fightful Select on your way out, on your way in. I don't care. Just subscribe to Fightful Select, our bread and butter. Thank you for joining us so much. We adore you.
All right, guys. We will see you next week. Peace out, everyone. Have a good weekend.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. You can check out all our previous episodes on your favorite podcast platforms or youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked.